Ladies and gentlemen,
from Inishmore,
you are listening to
The Sod Show.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
It's The Sod Show for another Friday afternoon on 103.2 Dublin City FM with Brian and Peter. And for a change, Brian and Peter are talking at the same time. Hello.
Brian, how are you, mate? Been a while.
It's been a while, but here we are. It is our show. We do it together, even if it is not linear all the time. But here we are today, and we've got a cracker of a show. And you are on Inishmore, which is the biggest of the Aran Islands, correct?
Yeah, it is indeed, Brian. I have to say, I was over there to do a half marathon for the wonderful, I can only describe them as angels, of Temple Street Children's University Hospital. Charity very, very close to my heart. That said, the island of Inishmore has a lot more to meet the eye than one would perceive. It does have, of course, the jaunting carts and beautiful scenic views, which I have to say, that sounds a little bit cliched and something we maybe take a little bit for granted. But at the same token, bear in mind, this is a garden radio show. I did manage to get a lot more bang for my buck than I had anticipated. Surprisingly, Clybourne Bed and Breakfast, or Guest House, which is the home of Marion and Bartley Hernan. Surprisingly, Bartley, it turns out, is a superb garden enthusiast. He wouldn't maybe describe himself as that, but what I will say is with all of the degrees in horticulture under your armpit, on the other hand, sometimes, and I do say this in the audio, sometimes it pays more than you realise to just take a stand back and listen to what the local and the man who knows the climate and the soil and everything else knows what he's talking about. Sometimes it just pays that extra little bit to take a stand back and just learn.
Okay, well, in a few moments' time, we will be on the Aran Islands.
Ladies and gentlemen,
from Inishmore,
you are listening to
The Sod Show.
So what's your name?
Joy Faherty.
And your name?
Amy Faherty.
And your name?
Ella Faherty.
And welcome to The Sod Show. You wouldn't believe it if I told you that I am literally looking at the water's edge across the water. I'm sure you can probably hear the waves in the background. Or what is being pointed out to me is the 12 pins, the mountains in Galway itself. And standing next to me on the island of Inishmore is Bartley. Bartley, you're an islander all your life.
An islander all my life, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you were just telling me on the way up here that your father was a big radio man.
Well, he was. He used to be, and he was a great man for the island. Anything, he was involved in a lot of things between Air Aran and local co-op and getting things going.
What was your father's name for those listening?
Coley Hernan.
Well, there you go, folks. But the reason we're here, obviously, is to talk about, you have, a bit away from your own garden. What I saw with your own garden was a little bit like my own. There was some onions on the go. They were in the pots. They were working away. What you have grown here is about what size and...
Well, you'll be talking about ridges, probably. They're 30 feet long, I suppose. There's 18 at the minute. So it just, nowadays, I just grow enough for the family. But in my father's age, and they used to grow maybe the whole field here, because they used to give it to cattle. So that was an important thing. We give cows. They had cows that time for milking, so the spuds were good for the cows. And
we're maybe about 15 metres from what is literally water's edge surrounding the island. One of the things you were saying, and I can see it's quite evident here, is the seaweed draped all the way across the drills or the ridges. How does that work, and what's the theory behind that?
Well, they say the seaweed, it's natural, and there's a lot of iodine in it. And they say when you put it out on the ridge, it'll give, if there's a dry weather, it'll keep it damp. And also, they say it gives it a better taste to the potatoes.
Have you tried it without?
Well, I have, yeah, but I'll be honest with you, anyone that will ask you, they like the Arran spuds. They used to be sending them out from the island years ago, sending spuds into Galway City.
And that's all put down to the seaweed?
Seaweed, yeah.
The funny thing is, on the way across here, you were saying to me that the stone that the island is sitting on is like 110% limestone, and it's extremely evident to see on the way around.
Well, maybe that would have another maybe effect on the spuds as well. Maybe the limestone rock might have something to do with it as well, you know?
I'm gathering you have no problem with drainage on the island.
Well, maybe there's too much drainage. That's the problem. Especially with this wind now. Hopefully, in a month's time, I won't get this wind because my spuds would be coming up. It happened to me last year that got burned by the wind.
Is that the biggest problem that you have growing things here? Are there certain things that you've tried that just don't work because of the, I suppose, climatic conditions?
You want to have a lot of shelter, you know. Maybe nowadays you can't buy a mesh to put around them that will protect them from the wind. But so far I'm keeping the old style going.
The one thing I notice is the amount of stone walls.
Well, I think a lot of it doing during the famine, after the famine, as far as I know, there was grants given by the government. And to divide the land as well. Yeah. Like all those places here were all green fields, acres of green fields without any stone, but the stone was brought down with horses. And also everyone has a plot. Say I have a plot here, yeah. I have a plot up where you at the house, and then I have another plot out at the back of the island. And the idea for that is in the winter time here we put the cattle out at the back of the island because the limestone is warmer.
I had a couple of emails in when people found out I was coming here. One of the questions I was asked was, is there a garden centre on the island?
No, there isn't, no. There's people with tunnels. There's people with tunnels, all right, a few tunnels. It's a thing that's kind of starting up a bit now. Okay. Yeah.
And how big is the island of Inishmore?
Oh, it's around 9 miles long by 2.5 miles wide.
And the highest point, would you know that?
Oh, it's be Dunangus and the tower up here. We can see the Ochil Tower, we're over 300 feet high.
What crops have you grown?
Well, I suppose there's a lot of new different varieties coming in now, reddish and things like that, you know. Yeah. And beans, people are growing beans as well. The most things I grew at the moment is cabbage, carrots, but they didn't go too well for me last year because of the wind here again. And onions, I have onions and, well, I call it,
Are you thinking of Scraelga?
No, I'm not thinking of Scraelga, no. I tried tomatoes as well. They did fairly okay for me, yeah.
How many people would be resident on the island full-time?
Around 700, 750 maybe.
And the two neighbouring islands?
They'd be around maybe 200, maybe 250, you know.
That would be Inishir and...
Inishman, yeah.
Between all of this grow-your-own craze, had it existed beforehand or has it kind of increased or influenced what's happening on the island?
Well, I think it has increased because people think now that there's kind of a lot of sprays put on vegetables and potatoes and fertiliser. The people don't believe in putting out fertiliser anymore. And even people staying with me at the house, they say, I'd love to be living here. I'd have my seaweed to put on my garden and things like that. So I suppose that's a lot of it.
Did the island go through a point where it was using a lot of chemicals like anywhere else?
Well, it probably, people got lazy there for a few years. They were just putting out fertiliser, not bothering with the seaweed, but it's coming back big time now again, you know.
Marion was saying to me, your good lady was saying that the cabbages were absolutely super huge, your last crop.
Oh yeah, they were.
So big you had to give them away.
Oh yeah, they were very big, yeah. I gave them away to my local pub. I gave them.
is there any secret behind that, or is that down to the seaweed?
Well, I was down there one evening and I was on about my big cabbage and I'll never make use of it, so we'll make use of it, they said. So it came down and the chef was there with his knife, so...
What's the plans for the growing this season for you outside of the potatoes?
Well, I'm hoping to have cabbage again and a bit of, well, as I said, to have the onions grown, and I have the tomatoes. I'm trying to get the tomatoes growing, but this wind, there's no huge sun for the last 2 or 3 years. That's the problem, you know. I suppose you want to have a tunnel for the tomatoes.
Curiosity killed the cat. If I was to put a rotavator through your plot of land here, how well would my rotavator come out of it?
It'd be okay on this ground here, because there's a good bit of clay in it, but at the other, at the west side of Ireland, on the island, or over the east side, it wouldn't work too good. I'd say your blades wouldn't last too long.
Horticulturally, I mean, is it a case of, like, if you want compost, do you have to go to the mainland and bring it on? Or
We have a local recycling plant over here now that sells compost, yeah? They have compost over there, yeah? And they collect food on every Monday and so on and so forth, and they sell the compost bags. Yeah, so.
And that's obviously bringing in a little bit of employment as well.
Well, that's it, yeah. And we recycle our plastics and cartons. And
Does the old water butt thing work around here, or is that maybe a silly question?
I use it myself, to be honest with you, at the back of the island, or back of the house. I use my own water, not for guests, but for
on my
onions and things.
Oh, God. I do have to say, for all of the years of horticulture that I have, there are places that I've gone to, I think some of the horticultural knowledge that you have gives good explanation, but it really is a point in time where it's good to perk your ears up. If you do make your way to the island of Inishmore, be sure and look up Bartley and Marion's guest house.
The name is Claibon.
That's Claibon. Absolutely wonderful house. And ask Bartley to bring you down and show you his plot of land. It is it's an amazing view. It's a little bit windy, so bring a jacket, but it's more than well worth your while taking a look at. Thank you so much for your time, Bartley.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you very much. There's another thing I forgot to tell you. I'll have to trench them now. When the spud puts his eye up now, I'll have to put more clay on it. When the spuds, it'll keep the sun from the spuds as well, you know?
Yeah.
From getting them gaeanach, as we say in Irish, sunny. You know, it would turn the spud yellow. Say, when the spud starts, if you didn't trench, put more soil on that now when the spud comes up. If you didn't do anything like that, the spud would be coming up through here and the sun would make it sunny. And it makes them grow better as well, to trench them. Trench them, we call them. Lawnu in Irish, but trenching.
Lawnu.
Trenching.
You can gather the wind has slightly changed. The birds are singing. They don't seem to sing too close to the coastline. It's obviously a little bit cozier up here, and as we come up, the difference is that the I suppose I'm looking at a massive crop of parsley that in my own garden I would be quite proud of. I don't see any seaweed dropped on here, Bartley.
No, there's no seaweed here, but I had horse manure I have in here.
Is there a problem with growing rosemary here? You've only one plant, but you've the crop of parsley, it looks like the Jackson 5. It's a huge mountain of it, but the rosemary on the way up, you were saying it's not doing too well.
No, for some reason, I don't know why, I had it out the back and it died on me. And I'm trying it here now again this year, but it seemed to be very slow coming on. Unless it wants a lot of sun, or what's the story, but
over the last couple of years, I know Dublin in particular, snow, lashings of rain, elongated periods of snow. Did that affect you on the island here?
Well, we don't get any snow here, no frost. Maybe 2 years ago or a year last Christmas, we got snow and frost for a week. That was the worst since, they say, 1963, which I don't remember.
That is obviously because you're so close to the coastline.
Well, that's it. The sea's around us and we don't get it. We get maybe a little bit, a touch of frost, but that's about it around Christmas time.
You almost have a little, obviously it is its own little microclimate.
Well, I suppose it is, but seemingly the sun doesn't seem to be as strong as it. I think when I was growing up, I think the summers were very, more warmer, I think. Like, it seemed to be, I see the sun coming up here every morning, and the next thing, the cloud come along, you know? There's a lot of that happening lately, whatever it is.
The climate change experts have got it slightly wrong by the sounds of it.
Yeah, but definitely we don't get the frost. The wind is the worst. Maybe we get the wind that burns a lot of things, you know.
How easy is it around the house to grow things? Is it a little bit easier?
Well, it's definitely, there's more shelter around the house. There's more shelter. We don't get the northerly wind won't affect me here, you know. So that's the northerly or the easterly.
And I also see some rose bushes in the front garden that are doing quite well as well.
Well, yeah, they are. They're coming along and they're doing well as well, yeah. They can't complain. I put some horse manure in with them as well, I thought. So.
will you get good blooms out of them?
Oh, hopefully. Hopefully I'll be able to put them on the table in the summer.
Oh, Marion will be over the moon with you.
We're going to see this the whole lot. This is great.
Ah, so the onions are grown in what appears to be a really long window box. Obviously, they're grown from sets, I can see as well.
Yeah, they're grown from sets, yeah.
they're, have you been growing them long? Are they a good runner for you?
Well, the thing is, onions are very easy to grow, I must say. They'd grow anywhere.
And the rhubarb as well, there's some rhubarb growing at the back. That obviously does quite well here too.
Well, yeah, the rhubarb is easy to grow as well. There's no looking after, really. There's no looking after it. No. And the chives comes up automatically every year as well. So
yeah, no looking after them. No looking after them. Yeah. What's growing under the netting?
Well, I have a few bit of potatoes there, early potatoes growing there. So I put the mesh on them because the cats were coming along. So I rooted them up and... So I decided to keep them away, and there's a rooster coming back the last couple of days as well.
I didn't know roosters are a fan of potatoes.
And I have another way. I tried another different way of growing potatoes this year as well.
Okay. And this is that. It looks what Bartley's pointing towards. It looks like one of those raised things you might grow strawberries into, except it doesn't have the little pockets on the sides.
Yeah, and just it's my first year doing it, so I don't know how it'll work. But I just tried it for the crack.
I see a homemade kind of a window box here, Bartley, as well.
I'm trying to be growing my tomatoes here, but then again, I don't know. They're just coming up there, but
there's probably about 2, 4, maybe 6, 7, 8 plants in there. Yeah.
And I tried them here as well, but the wind is playing. I tried them in a shoot as well.
There's a Bartley's pointing towards it. There's a length of guttering that's bolted to the wall of the shed. And you've tried growing the tomato plants in there?
Well, someone told me that you could grow them in gutter boxes, but I don't know. But I just tried it. But the thing is, if they would grow for me, I would have to put I had this done like this so that I put another board up here and more clay if I wanted it.
Yeah, okay.
So, but the wind is burning them on me, so.
To give, I think we were saying on the way, there was a couple of things. One of them was the amount of polythene tunnels on the island, or greenhouses, I suppose, to give a broader term. How many would they be in number, do you know?
I think, as far as I know, there's 6 or 7 of them on the island, yeah. And they do. They'll grow some vegetables and sell them off to the local shops. restaurants and maybe the shops, yeah.
I'm impressed. I am very, very impressed, folks. I don't know. I think when we spoke to Sheila Nikunena about the Gary Gloss programme, and she was talking about seaweed, and it's only really when you come down and you see it in practice and you see it face to face and you hear of Bartley walking down to the coastline and dragging up fertiliser sized bags of it over his shoulder. And that wind, credit must be given, but also it seems to be it's proven the course, and it's doing better than any of us with our miraculous powered compass can do. There you go, folks. Another reason to come to Inishmore.
103.2 Dublin City FM Sod Show, and time for Song of the Week. The Sod Show Song of the Week this week, we're going to go for something from the island, and then we'll get back to Peter, who will be talking with Pádraig Ócneada of Air Arran fame. So the song of the week, something from the island, Pádraig Jack, and a song called Atlantic Ghost.
I used to always be in the habit of explaining what songs are about. I've kind of got out of it, but this one is about I'm from the Aran Islands, and this one is kind of basically about being lost at sea and resigned to the fact that you're going to be lost at sea. Stuck in limbo on my own again, and I can't find my way home. Can't find it, can't find it, can't find my way home. dawn all slow still. There's an eerie chill, but there's light. I dream I see my island before me, but I wake up and lose sight. It's a sinking kind of feeling when you wish that you are dreaming. You're flying high no more, 'cause I've been blown off track and I'm never coming back. I'm a lost soul and I'm lonely, and I can't find my way home. Can't find it, can't find it, no, I can't find my way home.
Behind me is the aerodrome, you might call it, for Air Aran Islands on the island of Inishmore at the start line for the Temple Street Half Marathon. In my company is a gentleman known as Porrick.
Yeah, Porrick O'Cage.
Porrick, what is your, I suppose, your role in the Half Marathon?
Well, to be totally honest with you, my role is very, very little. I have little or nothing to do because we have a committee of people that's... I suppose structured through Marie Maroney and Allo Keneally, and they make sure everything works perfectly. And you know something, if I was involved in it, probably wouldn't work in any way as well.
Am I correct in remembering that you are one of the brains behind its inception? Is that the fairest way to describe it?
Yeah, it probably is. We're running New York Marathon in 1999, raising money for Crumlin Hospital. And I'll tell you the truth, basically I was feeling very sorry for myself. I was saying, what kind of an idiot am I at all? Running around 26 miles without having proper training done, and I was feeling sore and sorry and so on. And then started thinking about, could we do something like this on the Aran Islands and raise money for sick children? And the following day I was having a coffee in the Starbucks in one of 4th or 5th Avenue with some of the lads who came out with me, and I said to them, guys, I was thinking about this yesterday. Would you think it's a crazy idea, or should we organise a half marathon on the Aran Islands and raise money for sick children? And they said, they hummed and hawed. Some of them thought it was crazy and some of them thought it was okay. But overall, in bouncing the idea of them, I felt there was fuel to it and there was a possibility of doing it. So I went on then, contracted Crumlin Hospital. They thought it was a crazy idea, to be honest with you. Some of them thought it wouldn't work, some of them did. But we went ahead with it in any event. And... we raised good money, and that was 12 years ago now. And then about 6 years ago, we transferred to support Temple Street Hospital, and another fabulous hospital, and do absolutely amazing stuff for sick children and the families of sick children. And really, that's what it's all about. That's what the buzz around here is about. It's about the passion and the energy and giving something back.
Why the Aran Islands? Why Inishmore?
Well... I own Air Aran, the airline, and the spiritual home of Air Aran is the Aran Islands, flying back and over to the Aran Islands. So that was something very fundamental. Second thing, at the time, I was building up Air Aran in Dublin with 350 or so staff now there, and I wanted them, that staff in Dublin, to understand where the spiritual centre of Air Aran is and what it's like. And I also wanted them to really understand, to make a contribution to community and society, because the purpose of a company, the purpose of an airline is a lot more than just flying passengers from A to B. We have far more accountability and responsibility, and to me, part of instilling the culture and ethos of what I have within myself to the company was to get people in Air Aran to come from Dublin around the country, come here and spend a weekend and raise money for a very worthy cause for sick children. And then we invited friends of Air Aran and so on and so forth. So it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, like what it is today, you know. So it's a collective purpose and passion, really.
For those listening to this, I mean, I'll be dead honest with you. I had a couple of pints in the pub last night, like probably half of the people here who are going to complete the half marathon. One thing that was said to me by Angie from the Temple Street team was, no matter who crosses the line, there's no first, there's no last. It's just about walking past it, crawling past it, getting past it. But equally, the same round of applause and the same medal will be for every single person crossing. You don't really need to be a superbly trained Declan Moffat, is the Tommy Tiernan, I suppose, analogy that people would most understand. You don't need to be a thin, fit, sprightly young man to do it.
No, not at all. No. It's a matter of enjoyment. It's a matter of community. And as you rightly said, and as Angie says, and she's got a passion for this too, it's about us all doing this together. You walk it, you run it. You can start at 6 in the morning if you want. And we're starting here at 11 o'clock in a couple of minutes. It doesn't matter because it's about the community. You know something? Most people won't even drive 13 miles today.
You couldn't pick a worse place to do it either.
It's incredible. Just look at the sun and the few clouds that's in the sky and the blueness of the sky, and it's just incredible. Like, you know something, we tell people when you come to the Aran Islands, you leave the recession and everything else behind you on the mainland, because it's a place where the fresh air and the breeze and the fantastic local people help you back to what's really important in life.
Excellent. Pádraic, I have to say, pleasure. Thank you for your time, and best luck with the race, and I'll see you later on in the pub for a pint.
You will, absolutely. I think we'll have more drinking in the pub than last night, hopefully.
Excellent.
103.2 Dublin City FM, another sod show whizzes by. Peter.
Brian, another brilliant sod show, and I have to say it is with huge thanks this week, in particular to the wonderful staff of Air Aran, the brilliant angels that are the staff of Temple Street Children's Hospital, and also to the hospitality. It really does need huge applause, the hospitality of the people of Inishmore, and in particular Kilronan, who were just genius all around. We wouldn't have had a show this week without their time, and equally to Bartley of Clybawn Bed and Breakfast, my roommate Nick McGivney, I feel like I'm accepting an Oscar here, and also to Bartley's wife Marion for allowing him to nip away with me to the cliff edges and toss potatoes with him.
If you let me, I'm going to take you from Inishmore to Birr County Offaly and do a quick mention for the Tulip Fest.
Yes, the 21st to the 28th, it takes place all around Birr in County Offaly. You might remember we did that wonderful interview with Angela Duke and co in the residence of the ambassador, the Dutch ambassador, my apologies, to Ireland. 21st to the 28th, not to be missed. What's the web address of that one, Brian?
AngelaDuke.ie, and you go into the events section, you get all the details there. So that's about it for another show. We'll catch you next week at 3 p.m. It's the Sod Show, and we're closing down. Take care.
Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I bet you wondered how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some of the